Welcome back, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I am your host, Sean, other host, Danny. Happy birthday, man.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that you also lied to our few listeners on my birthday podcast about it being fantastic.
Well, I wish your birthday was today and not yesterday, because I would have said even the whole U.S. was trying to shorten your terrible day.
Right. Well, I mean, it's just my weekend of enjoyment, and usually I take like a couple days off around my birthday, so I just like lose an hour every year. It's no fun. Why does the government hate my birthday?
They just hate you.
Well, and not only that, but they also like took my birthday away and made it International Women's Day.
Oh, was that? Yes, that was yesterday.
Yes.
Nice.
So I either gave my mom a great International Women's Day present, or I like ruined Women's Day for her forever.
Probably the second one.
I'm going to say, I mean, it might be a little bit of both, but mostly the second one, yes.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, man. We were talking before the show, and I just hate the time change, too, because it just throws me off. Like, even now, I'm still, like, in this weird fog of, like, it's not really that time, is it?
It is that time. Like, the funny thing was, is, like, I set my alarm for this morning, so it took account of the time change. I was, like, in my head, it was, like, I knew, I was, like, I should be expecting 9 hours of sleep, and then my phone kept saying 8 hours, and I was, like, oh, forgot about that.
Yeah.
The damn time change.
It sneaks up on you, man. It used to be a different time. It used to be later, I think, or something. I know they moved it, and it's stupid. They should just eliminate it. I know California like voted to get rid of it, and the government was like, "Nah, it's cool. You guys need it. You can't get rid of it. Only two states don't have to have it because they chose not to in the beginning."
Oh, well, that's not really a democracy when everybody voted for it, then.
Well, because we voted to add it, now we're trying to get rid of it, and their government's like, "No take-backies."
You said you wanted this, now just take it.
Exactly.
Those people in the past were fools.
Exactly.
What were they thinking?
They weren't.
We're not the same people.
What's that?
I said we're not the same people.
We're not. We have lights and phones that have clocks on it. We don't need to like listen for the rooster and hear this and wait for the sun to rise. But then, like, some states need it. Like, I don't know how bad Ohio was, but, like, North Dakota, like, during the winter, like, the sun doesn't rise till, like, 9 o'clock in the morning, and then it sets at, like, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
I see no problem with this. What do you want, 8 to 3, then?
Or 10 to, I guess it would be, yeah, something like that. It's just weird. Like, the days are super short and angry and cold.
Life is so great in North Dakota.
Exactly. But speaking of angry and cold, Sean, I'm drinking a San Diego area collaboration beer.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Thicker Than Thieves.
Is that so?
And it's like the cover. The can is like kind of IP theft, but in a cleverish way. Where it just has, like, the head brewers from each brewery dressed Reservoir Dog style. And then doing that, like, recreating that scene that Reservoir Dogs stole from other movies. Because, there's a space movie, which I can't remember the name off the top of my head, where they're walking away from the space shuttle doing that same, like, slow motion, like, walk. Because that's the joke of that scene, because the dialogue leading up to it is talking about how nothing is new and everyone's just stealing movie ideas from everybody else. And then they blatantly steal the movie idea from somebody else. So I guess if you're stealing something that's meta stealing, then you're good, right?
I mean, that's what I think.
Yes. So the breweries, the main brewery on this is Mason Ale Works out of San Marcos.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's Virgin Beer Company out of Carlsbad and Pure Project. And apparently Mason Ale Works is a brew pub, but the other two are a microbrewery. Which, I'm not sure the numbers on that, but they're micro.
Means they make a small amount of beer.
I don't know if it's like a 5-keg system or whatever that the measurements of breweries are. Or 10 barrels, barrels, that's what it is. 5-barrel system or 10 or 1 barrel, but yeah. They're micro. They have a micro machine when they make their beer.
Oh, nice.
Maybe I should get a job.
You should. You lazy slacker.
Exactly. But it's a nice little hazy color. It's easy drinking. It's not quite like as, I guess, fruity as some of the hazy beers are. So it's a little more, has more of the hoppy IPA characteristics, but it's still like super smooth and easily drinkable. Mm-hmm. And it comes in at 7.2%, which I didn't realize until I read the numbers. It does not taste like it.
That'll happen.
It has a very, I guess, I don't know, like, it's weird, like, the styles on Untappd, like, some styles, if it's, like, a 3.5, that's, like, pretty much a 5, because people just judge them low because they're not, like, hype beers, like, Dunkels and stuff. But then, like, hazy IPAs and certain stouts and stuff, they're, like, they need to almost have, like, a 4+ to be good because they're, because everyone's just buying into the hype. And this one comes in at 3.78. With 743 check-ins. I think I would rate maybe a 4.
See, you're much better than me using Untappd during the show.
Well, part of it is also so I can get like information because I just see the pictures of the breweries and I recognize Mason Ale Works because it says the words Mason Ale Works in the logo. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty easy to identify, and then I recognize Pure Projects Leaf. But I didn't recognize Burgeon Brewing, which their logo is like a pint of beer with roots growing out of it into the ground.
Oh, really?
Yes. So, and then I just wanted to see like the stats, like the IPA, the ABV and stuff. Makes it easy. Especially because there's no words on the can really, other than like the bare minimum of what they need.
Beer, water, hops.
Right. I mean, it has the ABV, but it doesn't have, like I said, the names of the breweries and the description of the style or the hops they use. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. IPA, you know, what's it called? Untappd can be a useful tool at times.
It could be a used for good instead of evil.
Yes, why not both?
Oh, so Danny, I also have a beer, but it's not a California beer.
No?
No, sorry, man. So this is coming from Edmunds Oat Brewing Company out of Charleston, South Carolina. It's called Cereal for Dinner. It is a blonde ale brewed with almonds, vanilla, lactose, and your favorite, coconut.
Yum! The worst.
It's actually pretty solid. Like, so it's like you're expecting like I think breakfast cereal tasting, and I think the cream ale is like, or the blonde ale is a very good base beer for it, but the almonds, vanilla, lactose, and coconut just give it like it's, you know, it's like trying to think of what cereal it tastes like you're eating like. With like an oaty kind of cereal, so it's not like you're getting like a super sugary like Captain Crunch or some weird shit like that, like a kid cereal,
like shredded wheat almost in a way.
Yeah,
be shredded oats.
Yeah, kind of like Kellogg's with maybe a little sugar or something. So like the flavor of it is a lot more subtle, and it's like semi sweet, but it, like the four flavors just kind of mesh very well together and like complement it to like really make it to where it tastes like you're drinking cereal.
Nice. And not like you said, not something that, you know, little kid would eat and then bounce off the walls for a few hours before passing out. It's a passable adult cereal, but not quite full adult cereal.
Exactly.
Like Frosted Flakes.
They're great.
Exactly. Speaking of things that may or may not be great, Sean, I went to a new brewery that opened up in Chino Hills called Luchador Brewing.
In the fantastic hills of Chino?
Exactly, the fancy part of Chino. You know, sometimes you need a designation to know that, like, to justify why you're spending more for a house that's, like, a block away from people that are spending much, much less. When all you've get, all you've done is gained, like, a couple hundred feet in elevation.
Yeah.
So the brewery, like I said, is Luchador Brewing, and they had their soft opening, like, over the weekend, just kind of have media, and they had a media day and stuff. So, you know, of course, you know, we're not media or cool enough to get invited. So I actually had to, like, go on the with the rest of the scrubs on normal opening day.
Yeah, sorry, man. You're not sorry. We're not that famous.
We're not that famous. We're never going to be that famous, I don't think.
We'll never be that cool.
But so I went there and I saw what they had. They had, like, some guest taps on, some stuff from, like, Route 30, and they had an 8-bit beer. But I just, you know, I'm like, I'm not here to buy other people's beer, especially on opening day. So I thought they had a Saison.
Oh, boy.
And so...
was it nice and yeasty?
It was, you know what, like, the flavor of it was pretty good. It just, I don't know if, like, there's something, like, either I just don't know what, like, I'm expecting. But they, it just wasn't, it didn't seem as carbonated as I thought it would be.
Mm.
It had, like, a nice flavor. Like, you could taste the, whatever the spices and stuff they put in it, but I just, it just did not really have any bubbles. I don't know. I don't know if that's one of those things where, you know, a new brewery just has to kind of get into their own and figure it out, you know, because, you know, we've gone to breweries where they're just kind of mediocre-ish and they open up and they, you know, they've been open for a while and they get better. But then they had food truck there that was, like, built in. So I guess it was like a mock food truck.
They had a built-in food truck? Like, they just, like, just have a truck, like, parked in there permanently?
Well, I don't even know if it was, like, an actual food truck or they just, like, fabricated something that looked like a food truck and built it into the wall where they served food in it. But you could get, like, tacos and stuff like that. And the tacos were good, except they were, like, $2 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of, like, the super, like, street tacos, but the smallest tortillas possible.
So they're too small?
They were a little small. I mean, I got three. I was pretty good on the three, surprisingly, but because they put, like, a ton of meat on it.
Oh, okay.
And most importantly, the meat was good. Because I got their chicken, their pastor, and their barbacoa.
And they were all three were pretty solid?
Solid. And they have, like, sauce options and stuff. And when I went there, there was already a nice little crowd, and I got there shortly after it opened. Like, at 11, they opened at 11 o'clock in the morning on a Monday.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And I expected to be, like, all by my lonesome in there pretty much, right?
Yeah.
And I went in there, and there was, like, by the time I got there, there was probably already 20 or 30 people there, and, like, some couples with younger kids and stuff. And then when I went to leave, I was going to try it because they had a horchata cream stout or cream ale. Not stout, a cream ale. And I wanted to try that, but the line, there was already like 20 or 30 people deep in line, including the people that were already there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dude, I just want to go home and take a shower and maybe take a nap because I had worked all day. And I didn't want to get stuck in the 91 traffic coming home.
No, that's terrible.
Exactly. So even though it's like 10 miles or 12 miles, it'll take me like 45 minutes to get home.
Yeah.
So.
For all you non-Californians.
Yes. So, I mean, I'd probably go back if I'm in the area, but I don't know if it's close enough necessarily for me to like make it a all-time thing. Because if I'm going out that way, I might as well just continue on a little bit further and go to like Bottle Logic or Brewery X or Phantom Ales.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough.
But, you know, like, thinking about, like, this brewery opening and, like, there's been other breweries that announced recently that they're closing, right?
Mm. We have some more breweries that are shutting down.
Right. And I wasn't necessarily like, I didn't write down their names because that's not what I was thinking about, but more, you know, why are breweries held to a different standard than other food or drink service industry, right? Because you always hear about bars. Because, like, I, when I'm home and if it's on during the day, I'll just throw on the marathon of Bar Rescue.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't really have to pay attention, so I can just have it on in the background and, like, do stuff.
Yeah.
And then I can just hear John Taffer yell at people, and then I can, like, I can usually just watch the beginning where they do the scouting part when the people are being horrible. And then at the end when they're like, oh my god, you turned our lives around. We're never going to go back to our old ways.
Ooh, Chef Ramsay, thank you.
And then immediately go back to their old ways.
Yep.
Like, one I watched, basically, like, the way that there was, like, a husband and wife owned the brewery, and the way the wife wanted to prepare her beer tenders to deal with unruly customers was to call them all the names that she thought that the customers would call them so they would be used to it. Including, like, just basically calling them, like, sluts and bitches and cum dumpsters.
Wow.
Yes.
Jesus.
And John Haver's like, how are they supposed to think you respect them if you call them that? And she's like, well, I'm just trying to build up, like basically a callus so that they don't get affected when a customer does it. And it's like, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to stop the customer from calling them those things. Some of it's kicked out.
Hey, I need you to get used to getting punched in the face, so I'm going to punch you in the face so you get used to it.
Yeah, that's like the bouncer. It's like, you're the bouncer, so every once in a while I'm just going to walk up and just randomly punch you in the face so you're, you know what it feels like. And by the way, like, if somebody does punch you in the face, you just have to deal with it and not kick them out because we can't afford to lose a customer.
Yeah, right.
But also that same episode, the girl was like, we're just basically, one of them was just walking around in her chonies, no bra, as she was, like, serving people. And one of them was, like, one of them had, like, a shirt on, like a button-up shirt, but it was unbuttoned and no bra and just chonies on. And it's like, oh, okay, so not only are you living up to your boss's nicknames of you, but you're also breaking the law by, you know, showing the titties in a place where you have no titty permit.
You have to get a titty permit to have a strip club?
Yes.
I just don't know I don't know the dark side of the world.
Just like, if you want, you can serve alcohol, but it can only be topless.
Yep, I knew that.
And because that's Pizlet.
Is that state or is that what's it called?
Federal.
A federal law.
I'm pretty sure it's federal because it's California as well as Vegas, and I haven't been to strip clubs anywhere else.
Fair enough.
Because as Pizlet, you know, put it. If you have, like, the fumes of alcohol and exposed vagina must cause an explosion or something.
True.
So, it's just, but, you know, whenever a brewery closes, you either get, like, the people that come out of the woodworks, it's like, good riddance, they sucked. Or, you know, this is the beginning of the end, the beer bubble is bursting. And meanwhile, like, bars and restaurants pretty much, like, a high, high percentage of them fail within the first year.
Correct. I think breweries have it I don't know if it's harder or not harder. I feel like it's like they have different problems. Like, you know, in California, you have to do, like, the lottery system to get a liquor license. So it's like, if you don't even have the liquor license, like, you can't even open up the bar, and it's not even like you could apply for it. You have to, like, hopefully get it, or you have to spend a lot of money to acquire it from somebody who won the lotto. Like, you know, they have those stories, like, people in California just, you know, they put their name in every year to get it, and then basically, like, any, like, big corporate stores opening up will be like, hey, so you bought that for, like, $5,000, do you want, like, $40,000 or something ridiculous for that license? And they're like, yep, here you go.
Right. And that's why, like, in New York, when Uber and Lyft was coming in, the taxi commission was pissed, because that was, like, a way to, like, not only rip off the taxi cab drivers, but then also to, like, taxi cab drivers, that was going to be their retirement fund, was their cab license, because some people would pay like $1 million for the cab license.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, you're never going to pay it off. And it's like, yeah, but if you have it for 20 years, maybe in 20 years it'll be worth $5 million to somebody.
Jesus.
and then you can retire off of that, you know?
Yeah.
And so, because of Uber and Lyft coming in, those things, like, went back to, like, the prices they were supposed to be, but all these people that put their, like, basically the hopes and dreams of retiring on the fact that they could upsell it later, they were the angry people. And kind of rightfully so, that the system was screwed up, but they had to work within the system, but, yeah. You know, as with always, whenever there's change, somebody has to suffer.
Yep.
But actually, you know what? I said I wasn't going to mention any breweries, Sean. I forgot about one that I did want to mention.
Who do you want to mention?
Brewery Rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like a San Bernardino brewery.
Yeah.
And like one of the beers that they kind of made that was, I don't know if popular, but like at least recognizable around here.
Mm-hmm.
Was like the beer you're drinking. They were cereal-based beers.
Mm.
And then they would dip it in wax, and then when the wax was still wet, they would roll the wax in whatever cereal it was. So if it was like a Fruity Pebbles flavored beer, there would be Fruity Pebbles just floating in the wax seal.
Interesting.
And so, you know, rarely do I like celebrate when somebody has a misfortune, but I think this brewery is one of those that it's not a major loss to the world when they shut down.
Why do you say that?
Because I was at La Bodega one time doing my typical just looking around to see what was in the beer cooler section to see if there's anything new or exciting that I hadn't heard of.
I mean, I feel like you go there enough to where when you come in, they should be like, Mr. Groves, this is the new beer that we put to the side for you. So that way you could talk on your fancy podcast.
You would think, but no, they adhere to the strict no holds beer. No holds rule, so if I want a beer, I have to go in and, like, get it with, like, everybody else, because I'm not that famous.
Well, maybe they could just give you a red carpet and tell you what's new.
Well, minus the red carpet, I do get that if Kim's there. She's like, oh, have you still heard of this? Have you seen this? So I'll get, like, gotcha. Recommendations. But anyways, I was there, and this guy comes in with his kid and was just shit-talking, like, all these different breweries that were local.
Yeah.
How they're awful, their beer's gross, or the people, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like, not in, like, a matter-of-fact way. He was, like, almost like a high school bully talking about somebody behind their back. And it's like, dude, you're talking to your kid. It's not even, like, a coworker. And he was the head brewer. He was the head brewer at Brew Rebellion.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck them, then.
Yeah. And I bought one of their cereal beers, and it wasn't that good.
Maybe that's why they're folding, because their cereal beers aren't that great.
Right, and I know they had originally closed their first location and moved to a secondary, bigger location. And then the rumors were that they were going to merge with Inland Empire Brewing and, I guess, share their like space and like just have the recipes under the Inland Empire Brewing umbrella, but that fell apart, and so they just shut down.
Hmm.
And then, so... But then, I guess, you know, living under the laws of prohibition that were supposed to protect small businesses, because technology has changed, Seven Stills in San Francisco got hit with violating 60 of the Tide House laws, which are basically the laws that state about, like, distribution and being like making it so that big breweries can't buy their way into bars and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though Budweiser is kind of in effect doing that by because when they did that bonuses system where for their distributors where it's like, well, if you're a beer distributor and you only supply our beers, we'll give you an extra, you know, $50,000 to $75,000 a year as a bonus. And it's like that's the loophole. Or, you know, when they buy up like Golden Road and Goose Island and all these things and it's like. They go to a place and they're like, yeah, here's Budweiser and this and that. And the guy's like, yeah, but we're going to need to get some craft beers in because we need an IPA. And they're like, say no more. We got Golden Road and Goose Island IPAs and pale ales and stouts and this. So you don't even have to go to anybody else. You can get all your one shop needs.
One stop shop.
Exactly. And so, I guess they were given the option of basically paying $10,000 per violation. Which would be $600,000, or lose it basically like having their liquor license suspended for 90 days.
I feel like you just have to take the hit and take the 90-day suspension.
That's what they did. As a result, they ended up, like, put up one of their, like, they have three locations. So they put one up for sale, and they shut one down. And so now they're back down to their original one.
Just because they're going to be shut down for the 90 days?
Yes, because they didn't have enough to...
Hold on. Damn.
Yeah, they didn't have enough stock. So basically, leading up to the 90 days, they were just trying to crank out as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So they could even just keep the one location open. But some of these laws are stupid. Like, if you're a brewery, you can't give a customer... You can't have a giveaway to a customer that retails it more than $3.
Wait, what?
Like, if you're a brewery and you're doing have giveaway, like, stickers or things like that, that's fine, or bottle openers or whatever, but you can't give away hats and stuff to customers just without having, I guess, like, an official, like, reason, like a raffle or trivia or something.
Gotcha.
And then the other one is you can give bars and stuff like in-house signing, like signings for the walls inside.
Yeah.
But you can't give them signage for outside.
Oh. So wait a minute. So is that why they put all the lights on the inside and that's on the window? Because it's not technically outside?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. And then the other thing is, like, they were doing for a while, like, if you signed up for their email, you got a free beer. You just had to, like, you'd get, like, a thing and a response, apply, but if you signed up for their email subscription,
yeah,
you'd get an email back and it's like, hey, come get a free beer. And then you go there and you get a free beer. That's illegal, apparently, too.
Jesus.
Because, you know, back in Prohibition, they knew all about email and social media. And apparently, one of them was, like, things that they got hit for was being too talking too nicely about other bars or brewery bars or whatever on social media. Being laudatory was the word.
What?
Yes.
Jesus.
Yeah, so like they didn't really go into specifics. Like the people that own Seven Stills didn't exactly say what they were violated for, but you know, there was from somebody else basically saying that we've seen the things that they've done and these are violations of the law, so they probably got hit for those if there's 60 of them.
Jesus.
Yeah, just it's fun how, like, you know, people, you know, that made, you know, Prohibition a thing in like the 1920s had passed laws that still affect social media to this day.
Yeah, you have to imagine, like, somebody probably from a big corporate was like just tracking this stuff and then like probably put a complaint in.
Oh, I'm sure, you know, they probably didn't have, and maybe they might have, like, complained about a couple things, and when the guy was, like, looking through it, they're like, wait, here's more. Like an infomercial, but in a bad way.
Oh, bastards.
Speaking of in a bad way, Sean, you know, even though the White House came out this weekend and claimed that the coronavirus in the United States is fully contained.
Is it, though?
I don't know. Donald Trump didn't officially say it, but his, like, top economic spokesperson and his top, like, lawyer basically both said it.
Did they put this virus behind bars?
They built a wall for it. But apparently people think that one way to protect yourself from coronavirus is to stand in line for 2 hours at Costco and buy all the toilet paper and water. Have you heard about that?
I have started to hear about it. People are getting crazy.
Right, because I even went to, like, my local grocery store, and they had toilet paper there. Like it's weird. Like, apparently only Costco sells the coronavirus-approved toilet paper and water because you can't buy it anywhere else.
Jeez.
But at my store, the store I go to, they had a sign up in the bottled water section that a maximum of 4 cases per person allowed.
Jeez. It is getting a little crazy. Like, So I'm in a different section now at work, so I don't sell to just, like, your everyday, like Jim Bob that's over there mowing his lawn and just trying to fix his house. So I'm in part of the Home Depot part where it's, like, we call it institutional. So, like, businesses that do, like, a lot of repeat buying for, like, stuff that they need for, like, toilet paper and cleaner and stuff. So if you think of, like, you know, the hospital where they get all their cleaner when they have to mop the floors, that's, like, what that's part of the business I'm in.
Right.
The, like, bleach and hand sanitizer and face mask, dude, it's out of control. I have to, if a trailer hits the lot that has, like, a certain item on it and I don't get it unloaded in, like, 5 minutes, like, I got emails down my throat saying why I'm a shitty person.
I mean, that those two aren't necessarily related. You need to unload that truck and you are a shitty person in addition to.
I don't need them to be interlinked, though.
No, no. You don't need more reasons for people to acknowledge your shittiness as a human being. But yeah, like, the other thing, like, everyone's, like, stocking up on, like the Lysol wipes or the Clorox wipes and stuff or hand sanitizer and soap. And it's like, were you people not washing your hands before the coronavirus? Like, you don't need, like, a national pandemic as an excuse to wash your hands. You can do that every day, multiple times a day.
Yeah.
And then there's a video.
You know who belongs in hell, Danny?
Who's that?
People that poop that don't wash their hands.
No, no, no. There's an even deeper level of hell. People that poop, don't wash their hands, and then go eat, like, a finger food.
Oh, they're the worst. What is wrong with them?
Dude, monsters.
Fucking savages.
Years ago, I worked with a guy that did that. Like, he would eat, like, fried chicken and, like, lick his fingers, and it's like, so that's why you don't need to wash your hands. Their finger looking good, huh?
Yeah, he cleans it with his filthy-ass mouth.
Exactly. He's building up immunity. Like, he would survive the coronavirus and everything else.
Him, but, like, cockroaches, and Mick Jagger, right?
Exactly. But there's, like, a video of this lady, like, giving a speech talking about, like, ways to prevent the spread of coronavirus. And one of them is, like, not to touch her face. And as she's in the middle of talking about how, like, you need to, like, work on not touching your face and stuff, she goes to turn the page of the paper she's using for the speech, but licks her finger to turn the page.
Habits are hard to kill, man. That's all I gotta say.
I know, but it's just funny. Like, don't do this. Turn page.
Exactly.
But because of this, like, this happened a little, like, probably talked about a lot, could have talked about it last episode or whatever, but when the C2E2 was going on, Sony decided to back out of it because of coronavirus concerns, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then the mayor of Boston came out and basically told Sony to not be racist against Asians. Like, in his letter that he wrote to them, basically he was like, we need to do all we can to stop the spread of negative stereotypes about the Asian community.
Wow.
And it's like, you know they're Asian, right? Like, they're coming from Japan.
Ugh.
But then this week they announced the postponement of Emerald City Comic Con until summer.
Oh, wow.
And South by Southwest was canceled.
Wait, South by Southwest?
It's a huge music, comedy, and then they even have some, like, comic type, like, not stand-up comic, but, like, comic book people there for part of it. This is huge, like, festival that goes on in San Antonio every year. It's like a week-long thing.
Gotcha.
And basically, like, a lot of businesses are like, holy shit, South by Southwest is coming up. We're going to make all our money for the year.
Yep. Nope.
Oh, shit. Canceled. We're probably going to die.
Gonna die. Right. Are you breathing now?
But in addition to the, run on toilet paper and water, apparently, hand sanitizer, like you said,
mm-hmm.
is being, like, super depleted. So people were tweeting and adding Tito's handmade vodka and saying, hey, you're missing out on a great marketing opportunity. People can make hand sanitizer out of your vodka. Or, hey, I'm going to follow this recipe that I found online to make a hand sanitizer. I'm going to use Tito's handmade vodka. Which every single one of them, Tito's, like, basically just did a copy and paste reply.
Yeah.
Of, please don't. The CDC recommends that a minimum amount of 60% alcohol for a hand sanitizer to be effective, and Tito's is only 40% alcohol.
Look at Tito trying to be a good guy.
Well, they also don't want to get sued, I guess.
That's that's probably a better, a more fair case.
But I guess apparently since, you know, everyone's so busy buying hand sanitizer and worrying about the coronavirus that they're not worrying about STDs, so nobody's buying condoms. Except for, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I saw somebody post a thing on Facebook that it just sounded funny enough that people are buying condoms to put on their fingers so when they have to, like, push elevator buttons and touch things that the community touches.
I don't even know what to say anymore.
No, like, you'll, like, stick your dick in anything without a condom, but I'm not going to push that elevator button without one.
Yeah, right? Fucking pussies.
And then, you know, the whole thing about the Simpsons predict everything. There's a thing going around that said the Simpsons predicted the coronavirus.
Did they? Of course.
But it's a lie. Because there's like an episode where like Principal Skinner orders something and it comes from Japan. And as the guy's like packing it, he sneezes in it. And then like, you know, it kind of starts people getting sick and they call it something else. But they photoshopped like three panels from that episode and then one panel from a different episode where it shows the news desk. And then they photoshopped the story that behind Ken Brockman's shoulder from what it said before to coronavirus.
Mm.
So that's a fake. Simpsons didn't predict coronavirus, Sean.
They didn't.
Not this time. But we did have a better happy news leak instead of a sad Simpsons prediction, Sean.
What?
It's been officially leaked that not only is Christian Bale in the new Thor movie,
mm-hmm.
He is going to be playing the villain.
Wow. He turns tides, huh?
Exactly. He's following Two-Face's advice. Either you die, you know, you see yourself die a hero, or you live long enough to see yourself become a villain.
Do we know what character he's going to play?
No. Tessa Thompson, like, tweeted something or whatever and basically, like, and said that he was the villain, but they don't know yet. And so, of course, you know, nerds like to are patient and understanding, and they're not at all speculating about who he could possibly play.
What was the most interesting fan theory that you saw?
That, you know, because how the MCU mostly follows the story of the comics, but kind of changes it just enough to make it their own.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe he could be Adam Warlock.
Which guy is that?
He was. Like, he's part, like, at some point he ends up with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Gotcha.
But because Thor 4 is supposed to be, you know, in space.
Gotcha. So that would make sense.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see. And then the other one is Beta Ray Bill.
Oh, yeah. I think that's too far out there.
I don't know. They've done some weird shit, like. I mean, Ragnarok was pretty weird. Guardians of the Galaxy got a little weird, but like, part of me is like, that would be kind of interesting. But part of me also doesn't see Hollywood letting them cast Christian Bale and putting a horse face on him.
Right.
Kind of like the first Judge Dredd movie, where like one of the major components of the character was he never took his helmet off, and they're like, yeah, but we're paying Sylvester Stallone to be in this movie. He's taking the goddamn mask off. And then people were like, that's stupid, he shouldn't take the helmet off. And then for the second one, which was actually much, much better, he didn't take the helmet off, but they also didn't cast somebody of Sylvester Stallone's caliber.
Yeah, it happens.
So it'll be interesting to see, like, what's it called? The Suicide Squad finished filming, so they're in post-production now.
Okay. So we're
getting... And that comes out at the end of the year, I think. And then there's another movie that comes out like at the end of the year. Oh, Venom. Venom's supposed to come out at the end of the year, and they just started shooting. Pretty much.
That sounds like it's going to get delayed.
Right. Or, you know, it might not be that good, I guess.
Yeah, right.
But considering the first one wasn't supposed to be that good, and it turned out being pretty good. I don't know. And I guess they changed the way Woody Harrelson looks.
Gotcha.
Because he doesn't look all weird, like with that fro that he had at the end of Venom.
Mm. Well, that's a shame.
And the spoiler scene. I know. But I ended up watching a Christian Bale movie called Ford vs. Ferrari.
It looked pretty interesting. It had a pretty strong cast.
It's basically like the main stars are him and Matt Damon. Right. No matter, that's one of those things that either he's like super angry about because nobody's letting it go, or he's like just like, in on the joke.
Yeah, probably.
At this point, and he thinks it's just, all right, that's kind of funny. Especially like the story behind it. Like, they didn't mean to do it that way, but they had, and they kept having them remake his puppet. Like, they had him redo it like a handful of times. Mm-hmm. And every time it looked like there was just something off with it. And so they decided to just go with the way the puppet looked and made Matt Damon talk like that. It wasn't necessarily anything against Matt Damon. It was just how bad his puppet looked.
It is pretty funny, though.
It is. But so basically, like, the story of Ford versus Ferrari is Ford was kind of struggling. And, like, they were, like, at their worst sales point in history.
Mm-hmm.
And they were being beat by Chevy and pretty much everybody else, like, post-World War II. And so they had at this time, Lee Iacocca, who ended up being, like, huge with Dodge,
mm-hmm.
was in it. Basically, like, their marketing director. And he was trying to tell them to get younger and stuff. And so, to make more sportier cars and, like flashier cars and stuff. And so they ended up wanting to buy Ferrari, mm-hmm. who was basically, like, the number one racing team in the world at that point. Like, they always won all the 24 endurance races.
Yeah.
And so they went to go buy Ferrari. And the deal was that Ford was going to basically control the domestic, like the consumer cars,
mm-hmm.
like a bigger, like a large, it was like 90-10 or 80-20. I can't remember what the split was, but then he was going to be like in charge of the racing team only.
Yeah.
And then he asked like, well, what if I want to race in this race? And Ford tells me no. And the guy's like, well, that probably won't happen. But if it does happen, then yeah, you can't race in that race. And he's like, no, like I want freedom to race where I want to race. And so that pretty much, and then he called all the executives like Sons of Horrors and basically insulted Henry Ford II and basically saying, you're not Henry Ford. You're, you know, Henry Ford II. Like, he's like, you're not your dad. You're just the shadow of your dad.
And so face
that basically spurred him on to build a car to beat Ferrari, which ended up being the GT40.
Mm.
And so, Christian Bale plays Carroll Shelby, who's the guy that designed it. And, Matt Damon plays Shelby, and Christian Bale plays Mills, the race car driver that basically was the primary tester of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it's pretty good. Like, my one complaint about it is that John Barenthal plays Lee Iacocca.
Mm-hmm.
And like any other movie with John Barenthal, there's just not enough of him in it.
They always it makes you always wanting more.
Exactly. Do you know who John Barenthal is, Sean?
I feel like I should know who he is.
That's why I asked.
He sounds familiar.
He played Shane in The Walking Dead.
Got you. That is your man crush.
Or at least I don't know about man crush. He is a pretty awesome actor. He was like in Baby Driver, but like the opening like heist. Bless you. Thank you. You're welcome. Beat you to it. But
stop interrupting the show.
But then there's a point where like I'm watching it like and they're at like the finale race. And I paused it, and I looked to see how much time was left, and it's like, oh, there's still, like, 45 minutes left. How are they going to stretch out this race for 45 minutes? And they actually kind of, they don't really necessarily stretch out the race, but they do stretch it out to mostly fill that 45 minutes, and then there's some, like, continuation of their lives instead of just doing a quick blurb across the screen.
Yeah. It's like a picture of them high-fiving, and it, like, zoom in on one. Yeah, this guy did this, and he had this, and then it goes to the other person. Yeah, this happened after, and then this tragic event happened, so they're dead.
Yeah, yeah, which is pretty much what happened. Because, like, the next, when they're testing the prototype for the next year's car in Riverside, California, the Riverside International Raceway, that they tore down so they could build a mall that's dying.
The Moreno Valley Mall.
Yes.
That shithole. The only saving grace is the Harkins movie theater. That is a nice movie theater.
Yes, and that's about it. Like, the mall is like
a standard mall with, like, other terrible shops.
Because they built all these, like market, like, anchor stores and major stores, like, across the street from the mall and, like, down the street from the mall as opposed to on the property of the mall.
Right.
Like, as a giant F you, I guess, to the mall. Because there's like a Kohl's, a Best Buy, a Target, a Winco. There's all those stores, but they're all like a block or two away from the mall. But yeah, so it's I don't know, man. Like, they really did the race scenes really well.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's pretty cool because like, they're, you know, there's scenes where they're in, you know, Daytona and in Europe, but all of the filming was done in the state of California.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of fascinating, like, how they can, you know, movie magic things like that.
It's all magic.
And then, you know, it's kind of weird. I didn't realize how these all tied together. But I watched another movie called Jojo Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
It was directed and also appearing in the movie, the director of the Thor Ragnarok and Thor 4,
mm-hmm.
Taika Waititi.
Hmm.
It's basically the story set in World War II, and it has he's in it. Sam Rockwell's in it, who was Justin Hammer in the Iron Man movies, and Scarlett Johansson was in it playing the Black Widow.
Oh boy!
And you know what? Like, I understand why people get upset about Scarlett Johansson taking roles that she shouldn't take. Like, first she played like an Asian woman, even though she's not Asian, and then she was gonna play a trans woman, even though she's not trans.
Mm-hmm.
And in this movie, she plays a mom who's resisting the effects of the Nazi propaganda on her son while trying to, like, basically be part of, like, the resistance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she's really German or part of the German resistance, Sean. I don't know why she could play this role.
I don't know. Isn't she part of Mother Russia?
You know what? I don't even – exactly. How can you be both Russian and German? Like, I'm confused.
Who knows?
She just needs to, like, limit her roles to things that only she can play.
I don't know, man. It is what it is. They paid her enough money and she took the role, so it is what it is.
Exactly. Isn't that how it works? Like, yeah. I mean, I don't, again, like watching Ford versus Ferrari, I don't think Christian Bale is a professional race car driver. I don't know how he could take that role.
Right?
And then he's still alive. That guy died. Like, why is he still alive? Like, he's not. Like, there's a rapper.
Movie magic, man. Movie magic.
Yeah, exactly. There's a rapper I listen to, Sage Francis, and he has a line in one of his songs. If you're still alive, you can't call yourself a suicide girl.
Right.
Oh, but so Jojo Rabbit, basically this kid wants to join like the Nazi youth.
I just want to get in my suit and sing to Hitler, saying yeah, right. yeah.
So his imaginary friend is actually Hitler.
Wow.
Played by Taika Waititi. Waititi.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say his name different every time just to make sure that I get it right eventually.
I totally understand. I totally know this movie now. I remember. Once you said it was imaginary friend that was Hitler, it was like, it like poofed in my head. It's that movie. Gotcha.
And then I don't remember his name because I didn't watch the Game of Thrones, but the one actor that was like the young kid that everyone thought was a super dick.
Mm-hmm.
He's in it also. Like, he basically plays like Sam Rockwell's like right-hand man.
Okay, gotcha.
He's like a dick to the kid, like a bully, because, you know, his dad's gone and stuff, and like nobody's heard from him, and he's just kind of like,
I just want attention and love. That's why I'm so mean to people.
Pretty much, yes. And so, but no. Jojo, the kid's dad is gone, so that's why Scarlett Johansson is like a proxy single mom.
Gotcha.
And so there's a part where, like, you know, if you want to be part of, like, the Hitler youth, you got to kill on a moment's notice. And so they grab a little baby bunny rabbit and want Jojo to kill it, and he won't.
Mm-hmm.
And so he runs off scared, and they start calling him Jojo Rabbit. That's where he gets the nickname Jojo Rabbit.
Gotcha.
Because he's scared like a little wabbit.
It's wabbit season.
Exactly. But, dude, the movie is hilarious. I watched one scene on YouTube before I saw the movie, and there's a scene where, like, they in less than a minute they fit like 37 Heil Hitlers into the scene to show like just the ridiculousness of it all, because it's like, you know, he's standing there and like then some people from the Nazi party show up, and so of course there's like eight of them or whatever, and so as they're walking in they each have to Heil Hitler the kid as they walk in the door because that's how you say hi, and then like they're all standing there, and then Sam Rockwell and that dude from Alfie showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Is that his name in real life or his name on the show? I think his name on the show.
Yeah, probably.
But anyways, they showed up, and of course, there's two of them and all of them, so they have to go back through all the Heil Hitlers with everybody that's already there, each of them. So that's double. And Jesus. And then so it's like, what have you, did I miss anything? And Stephen Merchant plays the main Inquisitor guy that's there, and he's like, well, we just came in, we Heil Hitler'd the kid, we did this, we Heil Hitler. It's like, we Heil Hitler the kid, we Heil Hitler you, we Heil Hitler the other guy, and now here we are. And then, like, yeah, there's, like, some, like, twists and stuff in it that I don't want to spoil, because I highly recommend watching this movie. It's out there. Like, how can you make, I guess, a Nazi movie, a movie with Hitler in it funny without being Mel Brooks?
This movie.
Exactly.
Boom. Oh, man.
But you've watched a couple animes, Sean.
I did. So I watched one called Assassin's Pride, which was very, very meh. You know, it's kind of ridiculous. Like, these, basically it's about a girl who's supposed to be, like, the heir and supposed to have this, like, super talent. And, of course, she can't, like, access her power, so everybody thinks she's a failure and that her mom had a an affair. And all this crazy bullshit. And then so basically this guy is hired to either train her or to kill her. And he like, and then of course he has like some weird dark secret past that doesn't fucking make any sense. And it just kind of goes through, and just as she's like in school, she like somewhat learns powers because he like makes her have powers in a sense, you know, anime logic. And then, right. It kind of goes through and they solve a crime. Like, she's like, understands his dark past, and he's like, no, don't understand my past. Like, let me make you forget it, because somehow he has like Jedi magic. And she's like, no, I'll still love you. And then so it's like the weird like teacher crush thing going on. So overall, just rather meh. No need to watch it. Assassin's Pride.
No. Okay. Good.
Cross that off your list.
I had that like on my like potential watch list of shows, but if it is, then I'll either like take it off or drop it to the bottom.
Exactly. And then nominated for best anime of the year that just lost to Demon Slayer, O Maiden Savage Season. So this one was one that your friend was very passionate about, right?
It was a podcast that I was listening to. I don't have any friends. I only have people on podcasts.
That's true.
I mean, that's the only way we get to talk, is because you're just the people on a podcast. I just happen to get to actually communicate with you during the podcast.
Fair enough. So some guy Danny listens to on a podcast really liked O Maiden Savage Season and was very upset that it did not win more awards. The anime is pretty solid. It has some pretty funny scenes. It's got some drama going on. So basically, this is about a group of five girls that are basically, it's a coming of age story. They're all passionate about reading, and they're starting to like have conversations about that dangerous sex thing, and why are boys savages and always think about sex and yada yada yada. And it kind of talks about, it just kind of goes through the drama of relationships and self-discovery and all this stuff. Like, they all five of them have their own version on what's going on, and like, there's some falling outs and stuff, but at the end, like, everything kind of comes back together, and the nice thing was for the most part, like, the reason why I think I liked the story is it has, like, a conclusion. Like, it didn't feel like it kind of got hung up. It was like, hey, here's the beginning, this is why they're together, here's a little bit of drama, they stick together, here's a lot of drama where they start fighting, and then they like everybody comes back together, and it has like a conclusion. I think it's well written. I think it's pretty funny, and I could see, it's one of those things where it's like saying, what's a better fruit, the apple or the orange? You know, it's very hard to say, like, how do you pick like anime of the year based off different genres?
Right, and that's why they kind of have the individual categories. It's almost like the dog show where it's like, here's the best collies and here's the best, you know, labradoodles and the best Shiba Inus. And then out of all those winners, they're like, all right, who's the best dog? Mm-hmm. Who's the best doggo? And it's like, the people would be like, they're all the best doggos. How dare you judge them? There's only one reason why a doggo can't be a good boy, Sean.
Why?
Because it's a good girl.
Fair enough.
But I did watch the first episode of Oh Maidens in Your Savage Season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was on my watch list, and I finally finished watching the Are You the Only One That Loves Me? And I just was like, and I saw that you mentioned you wanted to talk about this, so I'm like, I better at least watch one episode so we know what's kind of going on.
Fair enough.
And like, so basically, like, the five girls are in a book club, like you said, and all the books they read, and even they kind of like, why are all our books like sex books?
Yes.
And like it opens up with them like reading like a sex scene, talking about like, you know, exposing the peach mound that was like, you know, and drinking of her sweet juices, and one of the girls is like, the juices aren't sweet. That's a lie. And they all kind of look at her like, what? They're like, it's more like pork miso soup. Because that was like the name of the first episode was pork miso soup.
Yes.
And there's a scene where like, I guess she's probably going to be the main girl. She has a neighbor, of course, who's a boy, and who got super hot, and all the girls love him, but they grew up together. And so I guess his parents are out of town, and like the mom's like making food for her to send over to him. And one of the things is like a soup, and she kind of gets all weird. And it's like, is that pork miso soup? And it's like, no, it's something else. And she's like, oh yeah, I like that one too. Kind of like trying to play it off.
Yeah.
But then like all the girls, of course, hate this girl, 'cause she's supposedly just the, you know, of course, the plain Jane that has nothing special about her. And you know, all the couple girls that are, like, trying to get on this guy are like, he's such a virgin. And it's like, that's why I'm going to take it from him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like a girl version of, like, Superbad or American Pie or one of those where, like, the group of guys make the pact to lose their virginity. And, like, kind of, they're kind of curious about sex but don't really know what it is. So it's told from a girl's point of view, but it's not necessarily, like, tamed or anything like that for being girls. It's definitely still as crude, I guess, or lewd as if it was a group of guys, which is kind of refreshing in a way that they're not like treating these little girls as little girls and make delicate, you know, virginal ears.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But then that one scene, there was a scene where they were younger and they were like in a kiddie pool and the parents are talking and then the kids are like, look at this. And they turn around and like the boy's like shorts are off and he's got his like dick like resting on the girl's head, and I can't remember what they called it, like an Indian headdress or something.
I don't know. It was ridiculous, though.
But she was thinking, it's like, he's ever since then, he's gotten so much bigger, and then that's when she had that scene about, like, wait, has that gotten bigger, too?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to spoil the first episode, Sean.
All right.
Because it kind of sets up. But she walks in on him, who's supposed to be this pure, innocent, you know, wholesome boy that does not think about sex, walks in on him because, of course, his parents are out of town. And it's like, yeah. What do guys do, high school boys do when their parents are out of town or gone? And so she walks in on him and then freaks out and runs. And, like, one of the things they mentioned is he has a love of trains. And so she goes over, she's standing over this bridge, and she's like, how is that supposed to fit inside there? And then as she's, like, panicking, a train goes by and, like, goes through a tunnel.
Yeah.
Very, symbolic in its imagery.
Pretty much.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of the episodes. It does look pretty funny. I can see why the podcast person enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. I know one of them ends up in a relationship with the guy, and they were nominated for best couple, but they didn't win.
Okay, I didn't see that one. So I guess that's a spoiler. If you look at the Crunchyroll nominations, you'll kind of get a small spoiler of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's your fault. Also my fault for not watching it right away.
I guess so.
So, Sean, you know, when you were watching animes, I was playing the super long, hour-and-a-half-ish long demo for Final Fantasy VII Remaster.
Oh, boy. How'd you like it?
You know what? I don't have the emotional ties to Final Fantasy VII because I never necessarily played it as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those things where people are like, you know, panicking because they're gonna, you know, Square Enix, who necessarily doesn't have the best track record recently with, you know, 13 and the original launch of 14 and what's kind of going on with 14 now with the in the MMO world and 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they had all this like DLC planned, but then they ended up canceling it all because people weren't wanting to buy it.
Yeah.
So basically, they've added a bunch because they're releasing it not as one at one time. They're breaking the game up into sections and releasing it at least either two or three different release dates for one game.
What?
Yes.
Jesus.
But they're adding a bunch of stuff to it.
Got you.
And so, and then like when the game was kind of announced and they showed some of the character models, one of the characters, Tifa, she, people were like arguing about her breast size, like the internet exploded.
Oh my God.
Trying to figure out how, if they're too big, if they're too small. And people even went back looking at the original sprite, the PlayStation 1 sprite, and then somehow was able to do math and figure out based on the height and bust size of the sprite compared to the height and bust size that she is now, that they're actually, because we were like, her boobs are too big. And they're like, well, based on my numbers, they're actually smaller than they were when she was on PlayStation 1, so shut up. The combat seems kind of fun. Like I said, I liked the Final Fantasy 15 combat. It was very fluid. I mean, it took a little bit getting used to, and especially, why can't I remember his name? I want to say Pronto, the gun guy. Like, you had to micromanage him because if you didn't, he would think he was a tank. And just and it's like, dude, you're super squishy and you have guns. Stay over there.
Go over there and go pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, why are you trying to, like, hit the monster with the butt end of your gun? Why are you there? Like, go away.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back, there's two girls, like, everyone's trying to, like, ship themselves with. Aerith, who you actually see in the demo. She's part of, like, the opening credits. Mm-hmm. And Tifa, right? So I'm playing the game, and there's this girl in the game, Jessie. And I'm like, why is nobody talking about Jessie? Jessie's kind of cute.
Because I want Jessie's girl.
Exactly. I want the girl Jessie.
I want.
Not Jessie's girl.
You want Jessie? Is
that what, yes, I just heard? She would be my, if I played the game, she would be the waifu of my choice, of my choosing from that game.
Got you.
And, you know, thinking about it, if you know, the game Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Yes.
If I played that game with those three girls, I believe I would agree with Sephiroth on my choice of who to kill.
Why? Who would you kill?
Oh, that was a spoiler of the game. I guess it's a, 30-year-old game at this point?
Yeah.
But he kills Aerith.
In the game. Oh, boy.
And it's one of those holy shit moments, which I'm guessing might be like the end of like one of the discs to try to lure you to buy the next one.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, I agree with Sephiroth. You kill Aerith.
Do it.
But it was supposed to be out already. It was supposed to come out on the 5th of March, but they delayed it till April.
Oh, well, that happens.
And then they put out the demo the week of the week it was supposed to be released. So I don't know if that was originally supposed to be planned, like the Saturday or Friday before the game release, they put out the demo so that people would have like a few days to play it and then decide if they want to buy it or if they want to give people a full month to play it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a few people on podcasts I listen to. Again, no friends, only podcast people.
Yes.
That are huge Final Fantasy VII fans, and they're very, like, skeptical and hesitant about this game, and they got to play the demos of it at E3 and somewhere else, and they were actually looking forward to it. They went from a definite no buy to a yes.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So, right. It's just a matter of how they handle the releases and how much content, because they're going to have to expand the game to make it, you know, worth buying three separate games,
mm-hmm,
based one game.
Exactly.
So, yeah, but if you're a fan of Final Fantasy VII, I'm sure you might, I don't know, you should have got, like, Friend of the Show Man thing on to explain of his feels for it.
Got you. Maybe after the game comes out, he could join us and talk about it.
Maybe, because, like I said, I have no emotional ties to it, so I'm very,
He can only come on the show if he sings a song about it. And play his guitar.
He has to play the guitar and sing like an acoustical song about it.
While riding his bicycle.
Well, he's a like he's some sort of douchebag at a party trying to attract chicks.
Something like that.
Hey ladies, I can play the guitar. Oh. man thing.
Yeah. You know, it'd be great to interrupt this conversation that we're having. Let's have somebody pull out the guitar and start playing it.
Exactly. And then you realize that John Belushi was the hero of the movie when he's walking down the stairs and just grabs the guitar and starts smashing it against the wall. He's the hero we all need.
I had to do that at a party once. I was just like, dude, stop. Stop. Oh, put it down. Step away from the guitar.
I thought you actually like picked it up and smashed it against the wall. That would have been...
That was too much. That was too much. It wasn't like a mortal enemy of mine or anything like that.
No, this guy wasn't a mortal enemy either. He was just some random dude at a party, and John Belushi walked by him drunk and just picked up the guitar and smashed it against the wall.
Fair enough.
It was a little extreme, but so was the movie Animal House.
Yes, it is.
All right, everybody.
All right. Thanks for sticking around another fun-filled episode. Make sure you follow us at Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. You can follow us on Untappd. I'm at DrDoom2828. Danny's over at Sir Hoppyhead. You can follow Danny on Twitter because he's got a bug up his ass about something. And then you follow us on Instagram and Facebook.
Hey, Sean, real quick, how far is Newark, New Jersey from you?
Newark?
Yes.
If you gotta say it right, man.
I did.
It's Newark. You said Newark. Newark.
Newark. Newark.
It's I don't think it's too far. It's like maybe an hour and a half north.
Okay, so it's not too far to like if you were gonna spend a day there like visiting like breweries and whatnot, but it's too far to go watch All Elite Wrestling on March 25th in Newark, New Jersey. On a Wednesday night?
I would probably have to take Thursday off.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not going out there by myself. If you want to come watch some guys wrestle, I'll go with you, but I ain't going by myself.
Some sweaty dudes hugging?
Yeah.
Hugging it out?
That ain't me, man.
It should be, because it's fun. I like watching dudes hug it out.
I know you do, bro. I know you do. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Later.